All right, so to finish off our series on worship, I've asked our worship director, Sarah Blackwell, to give the message on worship. And so it isn't like she needs an introduction. Many of us are familiar with her, but I wanted to introduce her and honor her. So 7.5 years ago, we had a vacancy on our staff in the area of worship, and so I talked with Sarah and asked her to pray about joining the team as part-time worship director. And one of the things that I really appreciate and thank the Lord for in Sarah's life, she said yes 7.5 years ago. I'm so grateful for that. But what beyond that, Sarah is she has a ready yes to just pretty much everything I've asked her to do through the years. She can say no. She's healthy enough emotionally to say no to things that just don't make sense. But she has a servant's heart. She loves the body of Christ. She loves the Lord. She loves to serve. She's been saying yes to what God has called her to, and she just keeps saying yes to God. And I honor you for that. It isn't always easy to say yes, but you've been doing that consistently, and so I honor you for that. When she joined the staff, their family was younger. Their children were ages 3 to 10 at that point back then. Now those children are a senior in high school, Allie, and down to fifth grader. And so Nathan and Sarah aren't growing older, but the kids are. And and the other neat little detail I saw reading bios is that you guys have known each other 30 years. 8 and 9-year-olds got to know each other. Wow. That's cool. Neat little, okay, trivia. We'll do that someday. It'll be worth something, money or something, in a trivia contest. okay, so I honor you for your yes to join us on the team, your yes to the Lord. Sarah's a really high-capacity person. When she joined the staff, she was finishing up her undergraduate degree at JMU in psychology. So she was mom, she was student full-time, she was worship director part-time. She has a lot of capacity. So then she got a little bored at one point here on staff, and so she went and did her master's in music at Liberty and cranked that out while raising her family and doing everything. So Gordon, who's our former youth director, did a little upgrade on her bio, and it reads like this. Sarah's so strong, she doesn't do push-ups, she pushes the earth down. That's a pretty fun superhero power. Would you all honor and welcome Sarah?
That's so funny. Aw, thanks, guys. Aw, thank you. Thanks. All right. I really feel honored to be here and have the opportunity to share with you guys today. I in psychology, they teach you to prep for something, you run it through in your head, you visualize going from start to finish. And every time I did that in my head, I visualized myself tripping coming up here. So I'm already a step ahead right now. I didn't fall, so I'm feeling pretty good. All right, so the last few weeks, we've been doing a sermon called More Than a Song. Have you guys enjoyed it? It's been really good, and hopefully we've been learning together what the word worship really means, that it's more than just 20 minutes of music or a 90-minute service on a Sunday morning. While good and biblical and right, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. It's about our lifestyle. It's about taking our beliefs here as a community of believers, giving glory to God, and then walking out those doors, and that's our lifestyle of worship. So to get started, I want to define worship a little bit for you. You guys have experienced this morning. You were doing it. Worship is defined as reverence, deep respect, offered a divine being, to kneel, to stoop, to prostrate oneself, to get low, to shout to the Lord, to worship with uplifted hands, to celebrate God foolishly and boast about his attributes, to sing spontaneous songs of praise, to express deep respect or adoration by bowing low before God, to adore, to pay divine honors to honor with extravagant love. And check this one, worship is also defined as to honor with extreme submission. Extreme submission. Let's see. Look at that. It works. To worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. I think that's really cool. That's obedience. And just as a side note, Webster's 1828 dictionary, I think this is really cool. It defines worship as excellence of character. And, you know, our characters, our motives and values that shape us, it's the ultimate determiner of how we live our lives. And so what we see here is that worship is not just a song, but it's dignity, it's worth, it's worthiness, it's adoration, it's reverence with supreme respect. It's taking our inner world of motives and values and aligning them with God's inner world of motives and values. It's to honor him with extravagant love and extreme submission. So we're going to talk about obedience today. Look at that. It's the face your dad makes when the preacher speaks about obedience. I know not all the kids are in here, but you know, I'm a mom of four, and when someone starts talking about obedience, you are given the side eye. Like, you're like, I hope you're listening to this. But it's not just for kids, it's for all of us today. So Matt Chandler says, God is awesome. He doesn't need you to be awesome. He just needs you to be obedient. And we have turned obedience into this idea of legalism and wrath and punishment. You know, you think, I'm going to be obedient so I don't get in trouble. Or we turn obedience into this loss of control and being locked in. But I want to talk today about how obedience is actually a beautiful and life-changing thing. It doesn't actually cause us to lose control, but it's the very thing that gives us power and freedom and abundance of life that he's promised us. Obedience allows us to experience God's love and not just earn it. So we're going to talk today about how obedience is a choice. It's not a feeling. Obedience is relational. It requires knowing God. And obedience is transformational. When we choose and we know, his power moves. All right? So we're going to start with obedience is a choice, not a feeling. Obedience is a choice between our limited knowledge and control and God's unlimited wisdom and power. That's our choice. When we choose to be obedient, we are choosing between our limited knowledge and control and God's unlimited wisdom and power. Living our lives submitted to God is the highest form of worship we can do. Our lives are on display every day, so we are not lacking for an opportunity to choose God. So what we worship is a choice. You know, God designed us to worship. When he breathed life into us, his breath went in and we were made to worship. We're going to worship something. And it's a choice. We get to choose. And in his loving kindness, when he made us, he gave us free will. And he gave us the opportunity to choose to worship him, because no one likes obedience if you're forced to do it. So worship is an act of the will. And what that means is when we don't feel the desire to worship, when we don't feel like coming in here and singing songs, or we don't feel like saying yes when God says, please go over here, or we feel like saying no when God says, go over there. See, sometimes it's easier to place other things before God. That's a worship of idols. And it's easy sometimes to place ourselves before God. And then what happens is you're just worshiping yourself. We weren't made to do that. It's so much easier to put my own desires and feelings above what God's calling me to do. Dr. Curry wrote an article on this, and he said, we must not settle for an entertainment fix or a feel-good fix in our worship services. A right heart attitude, obedience, and righteous living are prerequisites to acceptable worship of God. A right heart attitude, obedience, and righteous living are prerequisites to acceptable worship of God. It's our sacrifice of praise. May it be acceptable unto the Lord. So we're going to talk about Abraham for a minute because he's a great example of this. We know the story. In Genesis 22, it talks about Abraham's faithfulness unto the Lord. It talks about his choice to worship God. So he and Sarah wanted a baby. They waited for so long. They prayed, please God, give us a child. They couldn't get pregnant. They got pretty old. And then God said, I'm going to give you a son. And they're like, thanks God. Well, at first they were like, no way, are you really? And then they were like, thanks God. And they got this beautiful boy, Isaac, and that was their prized possession. And God, one day God said, Abraham. And Abraham said, yes, here I am. And God said, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Guys, you know, I kept reading this week, and I kept thinking, could you imagine if you were Abraham, and you waited that long for a son, and you're like, God, you called me friend. You gave me a gift. You promised him to me. I remained faithful. You said, here you go. And I got this baby boy. And now you want to take him away? And it also says, go sacrifice him on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So you're going to take my gift and you're not even going to give me directions on how to get there? So Abraham got up the next morning, walked away, told his servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going to go over there and worship. To worship. So what we see here is Abraham's fearless obedience unto the Lord. He uses the word worship, but it's like an unbridled obedience, meaning he wasn't forced to do it. He chose to worship. And by choosing that, he saved his son and he set himself in place to be the father of nations. It was the laying down of what was most important to him to show the one who created him who he was choosing to worship. You see, Abraham didn't have a guitar, a piano, bass, electric, drums. We need a tambourine. He didn't have those things that we normally define with the word worship, while biblical and great. But all Abraham had in that moment was his full obedience unto God, even if it meant taking the life of his most earthly prized possession. You see, to be obedient to God, we have to be willing to hold so lightly to the things of this earth. Hands open, hearts open, mind open, open hands. Abraham wasn't perfect, he was flawed, but he chose obedience, he chose submission, and he shows us that it's not just a feeling or a goosebump or, oh, I feel good and I love God and I'm going to do it today because it's great. It's not like that. It's more of the choice of coming over and saying, all right, God, I'm going to believe that your way is better. You see, God is most glorified in our seemingly little everyday acts of obedience. That's where he gets the glory. Those little yeses, those little moments where we get to come in. See, our worship is in our day-to-day activity. It's in the way we love and honor those around us. It's in our ability to stay on course when he's asked us to go one way. It's our dedication unto him. It's the way we live our lives on display of his character every day when we walk out these doors. And that also includes those invisible moments when you think no one can see you. That's our worship as well. And it isn't about being perfect. It's just about being willing to come up under the Lord's covering. We make mistakes. I make them every day. I actually did it this morning where you wake up and like within an hour of getting up, you're like, oh God, I'm sorry. Your mercies are new every morning and again today, right now. And that's how you feel. But you know what? Even when we make mistakes, how we choose to respond to that is worship too. Because what happens is you're focusing on the truth of who God is instead of the feeling of the moment. You know, you miss it, you make a mistake, you feel crappy, and you get stuck there sometimes. But instead of sitting there and being like, ooh, you know, you're coming over and you're thinking, God is good. You are merciful. You call me again. I am coming. You redeem me. I'm here. I'm here. Let's do it again. That's an act of worship. Let's read Romans 12:1 in the Message version. It says, here's what I want you to do. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the very best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attentions on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. I love that. The Passion Translation starts it off like this. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Oh, I love that. You know, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Thanks, God. I'm gonna do me. Or is it, thanks God, I'm going to give you 90 minutes of my week on a Sunday morning in here, and that's my response to your marvelous mercies. The rest of the time, I'm just going to kind of hang out over here. It's a choice. It's not based on a feeling, but it takes practice, and it takes trust, and it takes relationship. Because how can we respond to his marvelous mercies if we don't actually believe his mercies are marvelous? We have to know. We can only submit when we know that the outcome is better than we can produce on our own. It's better his way. When I was 18 or 19, I was living in Newport News, and I was really living my way. And, you know, I was about me. I wanted to have a good time. I did not want anyone telling me what to do. And I was just doing my thing. And I had could feel in those times, I remember feeling God saying, Sarah, come on. This, come on, girl. Come on. And I was like, no. No, I'm going to do me. Because I didn't know him. I didn't know that his mercies were marvelous. I thought, in my not knowing of his nature and his character, was that if I actually said yes to God and came over under here, I would be like boxed in. I wouldn't be able to do what I wanted to do. I'd be watching everyone else have a good time while I'm like the Christian. I didn't know. How can we be too obedient to God if we don't know who he is? So obedience is not only a choice, but it's relational. It requires knowing who God is. So when we start seeing the attributes of our Heavenly Father, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his strength, his perspective, we start aligning our will to his will in submission unto him, and that's our worship. And what happens is you start drifting towards him and being obedient without even trying. I think sometimes obedience, we're like, oh, that sounds like hard work. But actually, when you get to know him and you're standing over here and you're like, I don't want any of that. And you're like, well, you know, they actually look like they're having an okay time over there. And that seems very kind. And there's a lot of gentleness over there, you know. They seem loved, and I would like to be loved that way. And, oh, you know, oh, God, okay, you really are good. And what happens is you start obeying without even knowing you're obeying. You start experiencing God's love instead of earning it and striving. And it looks like this. So when he says to forgive, even if you don't want to. He says to love, and you love even if you don't agree. He says to be quiet and trust, so you stop talking and you start trusting. He says come, you come. He says go, you go. And all the while you're learning, it's better his way. And all of this
is just worship on display, rooted in trust and relationship. And you know, guys, if we look at ourselves right now, we take a moment and do an internal review. If there's anything in us that's not in alignment with God's will, or if there's anything in us that's in disobedience to what God's calling you to, or not in submission, it should concern us. Because it's better His way. So it looks like this. When He sees your extravagant love towards others this way, and He sees forgiveness towards others, what He's seeing is your submission. He's seeing you coming under to Him. And that's obedience, relationship, trust, love. Isaiah 30:15 in the Amplified Version says, "In returning to me and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength." So we find when we relinquish control and we choose to obey, and when we understand that our worshipful obedience in response to relationally knowing God, what happens is it gives God invitation and power to start moving on your behalf, start moving in your life. A few years ago, there's my husband, Nathan. He's awesome. A few years ago, I didn't think he was so awesome. That's a bad way to start into a story. It's true. We were really struggling in our marriage. We went through a really hard time, quite a few years of digging in and trying to get some truth in some situations that were really hard. And, you know, my natural will and tendency is to be strong, so I'm a fighter. So in my head, I was like, this is broken, and we need to fix it. You know, and that's how where I was. I was like, I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna win this battle, and we're gonna fix it. And we got this, and it's good. And we during that time period, we had a really awesome spiritual mother and father who loved us and spent a lot of time with us. And one of the scriptures they had for me during that time was, "In quietness and trust will be your strength." And so I'm in here, like, we're going to get this. And in the back of my head, I keep hearing, "Quietness and trust is your strength." And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Scriptures, nice. Get it, you know. And so time goes on. I wish I could say I did it really fast, but it took me a little while. And one day, I have a distinct memory of a day where I'm a visual person, so I was doing it in pictures in my head. I was like, man, God, I am in the ring. Like, can you do something here? I'm fighting, and I'm tired, and this is, and I hear, "In quietness and trust is your strength." Isn't it so like God just repeat the same one thing over and over again? I'm like, elaborate. and so I hear it in my head, and quietness, trust, your strength. So that day, I remember thinking, all right, I'm going to get out of the ring. But I was terrified because I thought, if I get out of the ring, who am I? This is what I do for you. You know, what does that mean? I'm just going to be sitting around doing nothing. And he said again, quietness and trust is your strength. So I envisioned myself getting out of the ring, taking off the gloves. And I looked up and it was like, oh, I was fighting myself. I was in the ring, going crazy, getting tired, by myself. What happens is, when I got out of the ring, I made room for God to move. And what I heard was, hey, honey, I got this. And I'm sitting out like, I got your marriage. I got your spouse. I got your children. I got you. I got you. When I got out of the way and got out of the ring, I allowed God to pick it up and go. See, obedience is not only a choice. Obedience not only requires us knowing God, but obedience is transformational. It leads to freedom and invites God's power and favor in your life. My favorite worship book is called Called to Worship by Dr. Whaley. It's a great book. He writes, "We can be broken all we want to. We can be demonstrative till the cows come home. But if we are unwilling to obey, if we refuse to do what God wants us to, then he will never pick up our broken pieces and he will reject all of our demonstration. Valid worship begins and ends with obedience to the will of Almighty God. An acceptable offering." Remember, obedience is a choice between our limited knowledge and control and God's unlimited wisdom and power. What this means is when we truly submit to God without any clauses in place, what I mean by that is when we submit to God in areas that's not just easy for us, sometimes I think I can be obedient to God in areas that fit my temperament, and then I call myself obedient, you know? But when we truly submit to God in all the areas, things that are easy and things that just aren't, then our obedience creates room for transformation in our lives. When we're surrendered to God, we give him free access and control of every room and our heart and our mind and our spirit. And he can then move in power. Think of it like this. God gave us the fruits of the spirit. So he gave us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And our natural tendency can be maybe not so joyful all the time in all circumstances. Not to love everyone. Some, the ones that are easy to love. Not to be so kind because you really got on my nerves yesterday. Maybe not living in our cocoon of peace, right? That's our natural tendency. So when we take our will and our nature and characteristics that can tend to be that way and start bending our will over to the truth of who God is, that's our worship. When you do and you say yes to these attributes of Christ, instead of giving in to sin, you allow God to move in power in your circumstances. It releases you to live under his grace, and it will change your life, and it will change those you come in contact with. So every time you choose one of God's attributes over the opposite human nature, you're worshiping. Every time you don't give in to sin, you're worshiping. You're bending your will towards his. It's sacrifice. It takes work. It takes practice. Let's read Psalm 119 together. It's long, but it's great. In the Message version, it says, "You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him." That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road he set. You, God, prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. And you know what? He won't. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. How can any person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of his word. You know, God's why he gave us the Bible, to learn about who he is. It's not just an old book. It's good stuff. So what we see here is obedience is a choice. It's not about feeling it. It's about choosing it. Obedience requires relationship with God, knowing him. And when doing those, obedience becomes transformational. It allows him to move in your life. So here's the thing. When you live like this every day, and then you come in here on Sunday morning for service, and you sing the songs, the lyrics of truth, rooted in the knowledge of God's word, it is coming from a pure heart. It is coming from a submitted, beautiful, obedient place. And that's our sacrifice of praise, an acceptable offering unto the Lord. Worship team, we're going to sing this song, Defender. We're going to have them kind of sing it over us. This song, the verses talk about how he goes before and he fights our battles. He gets in the ring. We get out. All I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still. All I did was believe that your way's better. All I did was trust you. All I did was get quiet. All I did was learn about your character. Hallelujah, you have saved me. It's so much better this way. Hallelujah, great defender. It's so much better your way. So I want to ask you today, if you're having a hard time believing that it's better his way, or maybe you're having an area in your life that you're having a hard time releasing control, or maybe you don't know your Heavenly Father the way you should, and maybe you don't even know what Heavenly Father means. Maybe you don't know his goodness and his mercy and his grace, his love, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his words. Maybe you have an area in your life you need God's power and favor to come and move. Maybe today you need to get out of the ring. Or maybe you just don't like the idea of obedience and you haven't been listening since the first 5 minutes when I said we're talking about obedience. That's okay. Can you stand? I want to ask you today to take an action response to this. I want to invite you to come up here if you feel led. Come up to the altar. This is the altar. It's like coming before God. It's just a physical expression of coming before the throne of God. Come up and let us sing over you. Kneel, bow, do whatever you want. If you don't feel comfortable with that, stand, sit, kneel at your seat, whatever you feel. Get quiet. I feel like God has something for you today in this. So let's take a moment and sing this song. Oh, so much better your way. So much better your way. Ministry team, can you come up? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you forgive us for the places where we've let our hearts get stale or fall into a trap of familiarity with you and with the honor of worshiping you. Forgive us for holding so tightly to our way, our nature, and our beliefs. We want you to invade every room of our hearts and minds. Spirit, give us ears to hear your voice. Give us eyes to be inclined to seeing you move. Jesus, we ask you protect us from the religious spirit that keeps us blind to the move of your power. And we stand against the spirit of fear that binds us up to do it our own way. Father, we want to keep our feet grounded in you, and we want to walk in the freedom that you promised us. Lord, we worship you. We adore you. We honor you. We choose you. We choose to be obedient to you. Have your way in us, God, in all you do. It's for your glory. Amen. Guys, we have a ministry team who would love to stand with you and pray. Pray for healing, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, any kind of healing at all. They want to stand with you and pray for you. Or if you just want prayer in any way, please don't miss the opportunity to come up and get prayer. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Have a great day. Love you.